Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the wizarding world. Be warned that this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Bayana.
And
I'm not Bayana. I've only slept for 2 hours. I'm Robin.
And I'm Bayana. We were really excited to go chapter by chapter and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the original book series, but that's over now. So today we're discussing scenes 89 through 94 of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
We have some announcements and reminders. This is an interactive podcast, and we want to know your thoughts. So please feel free to tweet along with us. I can't see. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to join the conversation. I should know this by heart. Like, why do I need to be able to see it?
Love our blog. Love Wizard Team. Have a few extra galleons lying around. Donate to Black Girls Create. You can check out our Patronus perks or send us a cheer and charm at blackgirlscreate.org/donate.
And we have Black Girls Create merch. Head over to our website and step up. Head over to our website and step your nerd fashion and stationery game up. I want to get it correct.
Why? We can just edit it because none of us actually say it that way. Like, it's fine.
But we don't edit it, and so then it's there every weekend.
Just edit it. If you want to support us but don't have the funds to do so, you can rate and review us on iTunes.
Also subscribe to Black Witches Weekly, our newsletter curated by Wizard Bay Deborah with nerd news and links to what's been going on. So if you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. Go to blackgirlscreate.org.
And now for Wizard Team News.
Can I start? Because my news is nothing. It's not Wizard Team news. And you're gonna side at me, and then we'll have actual Wizard Team news.
Have to do end. With NSYNC.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. I already knew, but okay.
Shout out to making the best of terrible situations. Saturday was the 20th anniversary of No Strings Attached. It was a big moment for all of us. Our girl, my girl, the team's girl, mm-hmm. Eliana, put together a Zoom. We spoke about the album. We spoke about our memories. We spoke about what we loved. We spoke about what we didn't love. We argued about the merits of Justin Timberlake. And though it's not a No Strings Attached, his singing Yeah at the end of Selfish, which is still a choice that was made. And I just want to say, like, also, like, NSYNC brings joy. And, like, find the thing that brings you joy, you know? Because I'm going up with 2 hours of sleep. And I already, like, didn't get in bed until midnight, and I knew I should have taken my ass to sleep, but I was like, you know what? I'm still gonna watch this concert because that's what I plan to do. So that's what I did. And do I regret it? No. Am I tired? Yes. Is this gonna be a very interesting recording? Sure.
That way anyway.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, brought me joy. And that album still goes. To this day. Dot gif.
Great. And now for Wizard Team news. So y'all know none of us are leaving the house really. Which means that the content calendar was like, oh word, got you fam. So we have a couple events coming out or happening soon. Including like some stuff we're going to do with the HPA that we'll give more info about
as we get it.
And then the biggest thing right now is that we are going to be hosting a Kumba Kickback, session panel called Black Girls Fantasy Worlds, which are going to be a 2-part panel with debut fantasy authors Roseanne Brown, Namina Forna, Jordan F. Waco, Tracy Dion, Bethany Morrow, Nandy Taylor, and Kaylin Bayron. So we hope you join us online on April 4th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. 4 p.m. Eastern. It'll all host the first part, and then Portia is gonna host the second part, and it's gonna be super awesome because it's just like talking about Black girls and fantasy and books and like writing and stuff, and I'm very excited. Yeah,
it'll be great, and then you'll get to like get a sneak peek of some of these books that have not come out yet.
Right, only one of the books has come out,
so you'll be like, oh snap, 2BR list got a little bit longer, but I, like, have a personal connection with these ladies, and it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. So all of their books are coming out this year, or have come out. So I think only one has in January, and then the rest of them are coming out all throughout the year. So you'll get to, like, meet these new authors and, like, just, you know, talk fun things.
Yay.
It's going to be great.
Also, we have magical birthdays. It's Aries season, apparently. I don't it go is. Here, but congratulations.
Like, I mean, congratulations.
We can't do nothing. Can't go nowhere.
Can't do nothing.
Hey, man, but a Zoom happy hour in which you can change your background so that the members of NSYNC are behind you.
Oh, specifically the members of NSYNC.
I mean, why? What else would you want it to be?
I don't know. Like, anything else?
But well, that seems dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of technology, but sure. And then you could, like, invite all your friends. Have a party on, you know, it doesn't have to be Zoom because, you know, they don't pay us. So whatever. It could be Google Hangouts. It could be StreamYard. Stream it to YouTube. Like, let everybody show up. I don't know. It could just be FaceTime. It could be whatever the Android version of FaceTime is, which is probably Google Hangouts now that I think about it.
I think so.
It, you know, just a video to video situation. And you can be alone together partying. And it's even, like, to me, personally, I kind of think it's a better solution. Because you get, like, all of the perks of socialization with also, like, not having to put on pants.
Right. I mean, I know.
Not having to leave the house.
It's not like I was going to. Well, no.
You were going to do something.
No, I was. But I wasn't. It wasn't like I was going to have, like, a party. I was just going to go do things on my own outside that I can't do. So I have to wait until. Who knows when to do them, but that, you know.
On your own. Wow, that hurts. I thought I was invited.
I was going to, like, go to the spa.
Oh, yeah, that stuff.
I was going to get tatted, which, you know, you can come to that. I'm not tripping. So there's certain things I was going to do them for myself as opposed to, like, you know, partying or, you know, spending money on that kind of thing. But anyway, that's not the point. We're not talking about my birthday. We're talking about other people's birthdays. So shout out to Marquita, whose birthday was on Monday. Shout out to Kay, whose birthday is on Friday. Kay also shares a birthday with James Potter. So, like,
can I just say something? In my, like, 2 hours of sleep, I looked at that and I was like, he and Peele, why are we? Cause I don't know. I miss Kay and then the Potter.
You did.
But I also, again, 2 hours of sleep and I can't see. And, you know, whatever. But I thought that was funny. Kay and Potter.
Kay and Potter. Shout out to Kay and Potter. His birthday.
It's Friday.
Send
them a socially distant shout out.
Yeah.
In whichever way you can, you know? Just like even you wake up and you're like, happy birthday, Marquita. Happy birthday, Kay. Happy birthday, James. The universe will get it to them.
Yeah.
Imani's already been kicked out the chat. That's crazy. We haven't even started yet. That happened so quickly.
Is that record time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, can a girl rock a Donald Driver jersey, like a classic? You know what I'm saying? Just out here.
I don't, but I stand rocking, with you. I just don't know what you're saying.
You know, giving homage, paying homage to a legend and not get attacked in her own live stream, you know? Like, whatever. Okay, it's fine. So, aren't we going to do, like, a tangent or up front?
Oh, are we? Okay.
I thought you said you wanted to do that.
I did, but then we didn't, like...
I had two ideas.
You did, but I mean, we didn't, like, put it on the agenda. We didn't talk. You sent me the message, and I was like, for sure, and then I forgot.
And then I went to bed.
Yeah, so, you know.
We don't have to.
But let's do it. I mean, I feel like it's going to... You have a topic?
I do.
Is it NSYNC? Is it more NSYNC? Because we did that already.
No. But that's not to say they won't show up in the topic.
I mean, sure, but, like, okay. All right, so, what we're doing... What did you call it again?
Social distancing... Social distance suggestions.
Yes. Socially distant.
Socially distant suggestions.
Grammatically correct.
Yes.
So we're doing this because clearly we like tangents over here. And because the, like, our reading material is, like, yikes, it's kind of inevitable that we're going to want to talk about other things. So we're going to try something out where we try to get the tangent out off top, add some structure to it, and then we get into Potter or Wizarding World stuff.
Yeah.
So what's the socially distant suggestion?
So we've all been at home for the past at least week.
Uh-huh.
It's been like a week, I think, for most everyone. Unless you live in Florida, which, like, what is wrong with y'all? Close the beaches. Like, you know? Anyway, tangent on tangent. So I thought we could each suggest some things that we've been doing alone, distantly, socially distantly.
Mm-hmm.
Socially distantly? That's not it.
But yes.
But anyway, things that we have been doing in our time of social distance that we think other people might enjoy.
Okay. I started a rewatch of The Office this week because I remember that it was still on Netflix and I haven't watched it in some years. Like, watched it all the way through. Like, I'll just watch random episodes whenever, but I haven't watched it all the way through in since college, probably. So, yeah. That has been fun. That shit still has me laughing out loud. So, like, you know, if you have Netflix, watch The Office. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
If you don't have time to binge it, I can give you an abbreviated list of, like...
Oh, God. Here comes a spreadsheet.
But, yeah. Oh, I still have my Naruto one.
The making of a spreadsheet.
Like, I am going to rewatch Naruto soon because I made that spreadsheet, like, a year and a half ago and still have not watched it. I feel really sad about it. So, anyway, yeah. The Office is great. I'm probably going to stop after season 7, though. And maybe watch a few from 8 and 9.
Oh, Lena is out here watching The Office with you.
Oh, shout out
already.
To Lena.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, 8 and 9 is fine, but not great. So I probably won't watch it all the way through because, like, storyline wise, like, overarching storyline wise, it's not my favorite, but individual episodes are really good. So I'll maybe, like, move or hop around when I get there. But for now, I just finished season 2 yesterday.
Dang, you going through it.
I mean, season 1 is like 6 episodes, so it's not like, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that's one of the things I've been doing this week. Because I've also realized, like, I've been trying to find, I mean, like, I work from home even without, like, all this. But now that schools are closed, I also work, I have to work differently than before because Ami's here. And so I'm trying to figure out ways to, like, build in actual, like, chill time because I, in general, am not good at, like, boundary setting when it comes to, like, work separate from, like, relaxing. So I'm trying to figure out ways to kind of make that a little bit more clear to, like, give my brain a rest. And then, yeah, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
I
have been rediscovering the joys of... I don't want to say live music because it's obviously not live because I'm in my house, but, like, spontaneous and non-recorded performance. I don't know. Like, basically...
Like, not scripted or, like, not, like, studio
recorded? Not studio recorded performances. So I've been binging The Terrell Show, which is this great YouTube channel. Terrell Grease has these, like, ridiculously talented singers on, and they play a song association game. He has some other games too. It's not always song association, but, like, usually there's some, like, singing off the cuff involved. And JoJo did an episode. Cynthia Erivo, which, you know, think of her other stuff as you will, but, like, whew, the girl got pipes. Amber Riley from Glee. And then, of course, I watched the No Strings Attached tour, which was, like, on HBO back in the day. And I remember, like, having a party with all of my friends. And we were, like, you know, very excited for the part. There's a crotch grab part, and it's going to be me, like, who the close-up was going to be. And then it was Lance. And then Brandon was like, it's my boy! It was, like, a funny thing that, like, whenever I see it, I hear... I see the performance, and then I hear my brother going, Lance! And I've been watching just, like, old performances, like the VMAs and stuff like that. And, you know, I will probably branch out to other groups of my youth that I loved and maybe even people I listen to currently, which, I mean, currently I listen to groups from my youth. But, yeah, I've just been, like, really enjoying that. And, like, there are so many awesome, like, moments that have happened. And then also people have been... live streaming on, like, IG Live, giving performances and stuff like that. And so it has been, like, really great because I haven't actually, and the other thing is, like, I haven't gone to a concert in a long time, and I'm not going to Coachella this year. Oh, well, Coachella's postponed, but previously we decided that we weren't going to Coachella this year. And for the last couple of years, I've been, like, not going to concerts and being like, well, I'll get my fix at Coachella. Yeah. Because of crowds, I've just really lost that love.
I really love live music, but I started realizing that I would be angry at the crowds. So then it was like, what's the point if I would be mad every time I'm there? Like,
yeah. Which is why I love Coachella, which it sounds like counterintuitive because like, man, what a crowd. But there's always like, you can go,
you can find a spot. Yeah.
You may not get to see everything, but you could hear everything. And that's like the most important. So yeah. So that is my suggestion. The Terrell Show on YouTube, going and finding, just like making a list or whatever. Like I've made a playlist of like, I call it's like a TRL playlist. It's like all the groups that were like constantly on TRL. I even put the Backstreet Boys on there. Like, yeah, I'm like trying to be realistic about it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I mean, they were a thing. And yeah, just make a list of like the people that you love and then go back and like find clips. And also, to weirdly, shout out to Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson for, you know, giving us YouTube and have being the reason that exists. And so, you know, awesome.
Yeah, I, at some point, we were talking about it last night, like, I want to do, after Lemonade came out, I watched, like, all of Beyonce's music videos in order from Destiny's Child, and I kind of want to do that again, but I'm doing the office right now, so there are a lot of things that I want to, like, binge, and I can't figure out the order, so I'm just, like, doing it live, mostly. Yeah, the other thing, I'm still reading Zootarific, so...
Oh!
But I'm, like, it's less, like, intense in that, like, I am still doing it, but I
also
started...
Doing other things.
I'm also, like, yeah, I can definitely, like, be, like, okay, now it's time to focus on other stuff, because I think, like, I reread a bunch of, like, not a bunch, I reread a couple things, so that, like, slowed it down, because I'm, like, well, I've read it already, I don't need to rush, and then I just found some new stuff, but I'm not clear, they're not, like... sure about what the quality is gonna be, so I may or may not read all of them, so I'm just kind of like, when I get the time I do that, but it's less than it was a couple weeks ago, so that's nice because I have my brain back. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Maggie who entered the chat so she can hear and see this. You my girl Blue, because I am currently reading a Jane Austen Love Island crossover that is bonkers. I stayed up until like 2 a.m. last night watching NSYNC, but the night before I stayed up until like 1:30 reading this fic, and it is bonkers, and I love it. Oh, and Zay also says ESPN2 is showing a marathon of underappreciated sports right now, so handball and marble racing. The marble racing is like awesome, and you can find a bunch of those on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't, it wasn't ESPN2, but someone played the 03 McDonald's All-Star Game, which is a high school All-Star Game. And, like, I graduated high school in 03. Don't do the math of how old I am. I'm old. But
it's not like you've never
same people who graduated in my class, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Chris Humphries, which... I mean, where is he at, you know? Never mess with a Kardashian if you want to keep your livelihood. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Kanye still got money, but is he Kanye anymore? You know what I mean? Anyway, it was just a class of, like, classes banging. And so, you know, you can go and watch obscure sports as well. They're showing, like, old, like, well, they always show old Laker games on ESPN Classic, but they were showing some, like, 70s Bird Magic, Luau Cinder, who is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yeah, I don't know if I ever told that story, but I didn't know who that was, and my brother and my dad got, like, super, like, offended by it, and I was like, y'all are the people who should have told me
right.
that he changed his name.
Yeah.
I didn't know Luau Cinder and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were the same person.
Idea. That's the first time I've ever
heard. Yeah, I know. I was like looking through old UCLA records and I was like, who is this Lou Alcindor person and why was he such a flop? He had one big year in the NBA and what happened? I was like, Daddy, was he on drugs? And my dad was like, what? I was like, where'd he go? He had one year in the league and he disappeared. My dad was like, girl.
That's hilarious because I've never heard that name before. So
yeah, that says. His mama named him Lou. I'm going to call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because that's what he likes to be called.
Indeed.
That's what his legal name is. That's what I'm going to call him. All right. Tangent over?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. If you guys have suggestions, socially distant suggestions, you can share them with us on Twitter and use the hashtag WizardTeam. Why not? It's about.
Yeah, why not? And, like, also, you know, if you have questions and things that we should, like, this guy. I mean, this is happened through the screenplays, but like while we're doing it, only gonna happen in the screenplay that's like through August.
So. Yeah. Or so if you have
till August.
Tangent so, topics. Yeah. Hey. But, alliteration.
Let us know. We can figure something out.
Yeah.
If it's something like. Just, you know, depends on, we may or may not take the suggestions, depending on what it is, and depending on, like, how passionate we are about them, or how much prep time it'll take to, like, figure it out, but some of them, I'm sure.
But if you want to hear me talk about early 2000 boy bands.
She got you.
It could literally become its own podcast at this point. Yeah. Boy band team.
I can talk about
B2K.
B2K slightly.
B5.
I know.
Do you remember 3T?
I do not.
Oh my god, I love them solely on the fact that they were Michael Jackson's nephews, and they all looked so much like Jermaine. It was crazy. Like, I was like, wow, that's uncomfortable, because they have one song.
Okay, well then.
Yeah. They had like an album, but they had like one song, and Michael Jackson, I think, was on it, or they sampled him, and it was very much like, Michael and Janet are our people, and we were like, okay, we'll do it. You're in, and then... Yeah, they weren't.
Yeah.
But.
B5, I like talking about, because then we talk about how out of pocket Diddy is. But not today.
Zay says, it's cute that y'all think this segment is going to prevent tangents, or that tangent prevention is even something we would desire.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we thought it would prevent
but maybe minimize.
Or at least
flatten the curve.
Yeah. Or at least like I mean, like obviously
that's not funny.
Tangents have always been like built into Wizard Team, but you know. Just trying to get the big things out first. Maybe? Probably not. I don't know. Yeah. We're trying. Anyway, previously on Wizard Team, Next needs to stay at home. The thong song still slaps. And we learned a lot about, like, period protection. So that was cool.
We did. But that's also, like, fascinating history.
No, it was. Like, actually.
Yeah. We, like, learned.
I learned things.
Yeah.
I actually did, you know. Yeah.
Also, did they kill the homegirl, or did that happen the time before?
No, I think he killed homegirl.
He killed homegirl.
Yeah, Phoenix killed his mama.
I ain't your mama, is what she said. And then he was like, well, bye, bitch.
Bye-bye. they went, the little group went to this, like, speakeasy with all of New York's criminals, talked to this one goblin who turned them into Makuza, except then they, like, apparated out, so they escaped. And that was... Okay, cool. So, scene... Oh, no, first, a word...
From our sponsors. All right.
We back. So scene 89.
Brought to you by Trader Joe's Margarita Mix.
Oh yeah, that too. We are doing that. Not enough to get turned.
Not enough to get turned. No. Just enough to, you know, keep us surprisingly good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's lit. Okay. Maybe cool.
Add some triple second.
So scene 89. At the department store, there's a wide shot of the department store. It's windows full of glamorously dressed mannequins. So now we're back to like the original story concept, which is honestly still real mediocre, but at least the like tone of it is nice, you know? Like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it feels better than all the like darkness. And
I don't think the concept or premise of the original thing is mediocre. I mean, No,
I mean, execution is mediocre.
The premise is, like, adorable.
I think the premise would be fine. Because as I was, like, reading this, I had more and more questions and was like, this is dumb. So it's more the execution versus the, like,
the actual idea.
So they're off to find the rest, well, really just Dougal as far as Newt is concerned. So, Jacob approaches the shop window. He's staring at a handbag, which seemingly of its own accord is sliding down the arm of a mannequin. Newt, Tina, and Queenie hurry up behind him, watch as the bag hovers in midair and floats off into the store. So, first of all of Newt's beasts are thieves, so that's funny.
What's that say about them, though?
Like,
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they just pop up and be like, oh, this is mine now. Like,
I think that's like literally an animal trait. Cause I will say that like Luna loves a gift, whether it's freely given or not, but you have to like, they, you know, they're like, I mean, I say they, like all animals, but like dogs, at least are domesticated, dogs and cats, domesticated animals are like toddlers.
Right.
And they're just like, I want to touch, I want to explore. Is that mine? It could be mine. It could be both of ours. And then you, as the person in charge, are supposed to train them to leave stuff alone.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about Newt, just in terms of like, you know, keep an eye on your kids, raise them right. Don't have them out here thieving.
Right. First, we were at the jewelry store, now we're at the apartment store.
We're at the bank. We're at the bank.
Like, they be wildin'.
They be wild.
Who's a really bad pet parent. So, scene 90. So, they're in it's a well-presented department store decorated for Christmas. So, apparently, it's Christmas time. Who knew? Full of expensive jewelry, shoes, hats, and perfume. It's shut down for the night. All the lights are off. We see the handbag float down the central aisle accompanied by small grunting noises. Newt and the group...
So wait, you can hear the Nimmy guys?
I guess, which like, you know.
But they couldn't... When he was like going through... I didn't catch this. I swear.
I don't think the Nimmy guys is like fully invisible because I know that you use Nimmy guys' hairs in invisibility cloaks and it's like...
They don't last that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I'm just thinking of the kid who sees him with the lollipop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, why isn't the Demi guy puking everywhere? He ate a lollipop. That can't be good for his system. Anyway. Well, I guess maybe he just didn't make any noise. But I feel like...
I mean, I don't know. I think probably in this case, they're just trying to let us know that he's there. But I guess...
There's a floating handbag.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. So Newt's whispering and he says, Demi guises are fundamentally peaceful, but they can give a nasty nip if provoked. The Demi guise itself appears a silvery haired orangutan like creature with a curious, wizened face. So basically, I think we discussed it's like Gandalf meets Sneagol. And so he's clambering over a display to reach a box of sweets. Newt sends Jacob and Queenie one way. They kind of split up to try to see if they can catch.
It's also weird because it's like, why is he stealing a handbag, but then everything else about him is, like, powered by sweets?
Well, no. So what he's doing is he's, like, trying to gather up sweets. So he got a bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he don't have a pouch like the Nif.
Right.
The Nif is like, stay ready, you don't gotta get ready.
Evolutionary. Okay.
And Dougal's like, let me grab my bag. Get in my bag, yeah. Get out of yours. Okay, I see,
and
I see.
Was like, I am the bag.
I am the bag. The bag is me.
So Newt tells Jacob and Queenie to try very hard not to be predictable, which, you know, isn't, like, super helpful, but I guess is also, I don't know how you tell them not to be predictable. Who knows?
I'm only in the wrong chat.
So then there's a small roar that can be heard in the distance. The Demi guys, upon hearing the sound, looks up toward the ceiling before continuing to gather sweets, now shoveling them into its handbag. And then Newt is like, I think that's the reason the Demi guys is here. So there's more than one beast. Like we've been talking mm-hmm. about. Like, he's like, oh, we got three. And it's like, no, there's for sure another one. But this is interesting because we see like the Demi guys is kind of a creature that takes care of others,
yeah,
or at least babies, because I think it's an Akami, and I think it's a
baby Akami.
So like that's why it's getting sweets, is because he's like, well, we gotta feed the baby, and like
I like sweets, you yeah, like sweets,
which is cute,
yeah.
So
and also like I would just I'm much more interested in learning about the beast and their little ticks, and like that is like yeah. where Whimsy mm-hmm. is.
And it still doesn't, like, this, one of the things, too, is, like, this scene, or these scenes still don't have enough Whimsy.
Yeah.
Like, they're cool and they're cute, but it could be...
She could go to 11.
You could really push it.
Yeah.
And they don't, but, yeah. So, Newt and Tina are moving toward the demiguys, which is now moving through the store. It realizes it's been spotted. Turns, looks at Newt, and then moves up a set of side stairs. Newt smiles and moves to follow. So scene 91, now we're in the attic of the department store, which is full floor to ceiling with boxes of china, dinner services, teacups, general kitchenware, which, like, of course, because you want to have maximum
spillage and breakage.
Yeah, like, and destruction potential, mm-hmm. and you want to be like, ooh, this is, like, a touchy moment, which...
But also... That's not how people store things, especially department stores.
I mean, we're listening 20, so...
Even still, that's their merchandise.
Sure, I'm not saying that that's not how they do it. I'm just saying it could be. Who knows? Maybe she did her research. I'm kidding.
I know this is a podcast, so y'all couldn't see the look of derision I just gave. But that bitch ain't done no research since 1995.
Give her, like, 2005.
2000. She ain't done research since NSYNC dropped No Strings Attached. Full 20 years ago. Oh my God, 20 years ago, I was in love with NSYNC and Harry Potter. And 20 years later, I am in love with NSYNC.
I mean, you know, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We just
trying to see other people. We need some time.
We'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm, like, very optimistic about our future, just not our present.
I feel like we have our I am consciously uncoupling, but leaving the door open for friendship.
The door is closed.
The door is closed. For friendship and a possible.
Reconciliation. I mean, I'm pretty sure that at some point I'm gonna be like, Harry Potter's cool as fuck, you can't tell me nothing, like, we out here. It is not this day. Right now I'm just like, it's cool.
We
alright.
He good. His cousins, I can't stand them though. You know, you got that friend and you're like, I like him, but his family, ugh. No thank you.
Alright, so the demiguise walks along the attic in a patch of moonlight. It glances around before stopping and emptying its handbag full of confectionery.
Wait. Zay says, tell people they should consider being patronesses for the facial expression since nothing is open to take their money right now. Which is
true.
It's true.
I mean,
you know.
We have good facial expressions.
And the chat is.
Very expressive.
The chat is lit.
It's true.
When they deign to show up, when they remember that we're recording. Love y'all.
Okay. So, Newt says that the demiguise's sight operates on probability, so it can foresee the most likely immediate future, which I think is super tight.
Like, that is some really Doctor cool. Strange shit.
Yeah. The problem is the way that they actually, like, have this happen. Like, this sounds cooler than what it actually is.
Yeah.
I think.
For sure.
So Newt is creeping up behind the demiguise, and Tina's like, what's it doing now? And he's like, it's babysitting, which is adorable. And then Newt says, this is my fault. I thought I had them all, but I must have miscounted.
How do you miscount
your beasts?
Like, literal living sentient creatures.
And then also, like, what is the point of this other than to show that he's more incompetent than we've already seen? Like, I think it's interesting because... I mean, I think in the movie, it's easier to miss. And I mean, it's kind of like Cursed Child. And not in, like, the... I mean, I don't know. It's still pretty egregious. But there's something to be said about, like, how a visual thing can distract from the actual, like, plot and the writing. And not all the time. Like, definitely watching this movie, I was like, this is not great. But I never really had that many issues with Newt. I was like, oh, I mean, he's, you know... But then when you are just reading it, you're like, oh no, this dude is, like, mad incompetent. It's just out here just, like, disregarding all the rules, really doesn't give a fuck, is just here, you know what I mean? It's just like, why are you here? What are you doing? Please leave.
But I also think that's a, like, part of, like, acting too, where it's like,
right, like, there's another, like, layer to it that you're seeing, whereas when you're reading it, you're just like, this dude is, like, why?
Yeah.
Why? I just think it's interesting reading it now. Like, before I was just like, I guess because, too, like, it's not like when I was watching it, I was counting how, like, when he said three left, I was like, oh, for sure, I'm not paying attention to how many he's caught or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, reading it, I'm like, wait, no, there's definitely, like, then you start trying to figure out, like, which ones. So I think it's also a nature of, like, how we're, like, consuming this. But, yeah, it's just interesting how little I see it for Newt versus, like, when we were watching it. I think I think I was really indifferent to him for the most part. But in this case, I'm just like, please leave.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, so this is kind of on the opposite. This is, like, the opposite of Ginny Weasley, where Eddie Redmayne has a very, like, in general, like, his public persona and stuff like that, he's, like, a very lovable, quiet, like, you root for him. You know, like, I'm just thinking about, because he went on this big press tour for, I want to say The Importance of Being Earnest, and that is not the name of that movie, but y'all know what I'm talking about. He won the Oscar for the Stephen Hawking movie.
Sure.
Abundance of Light. That's not it either.
It's definitely.
Improbability
is. I don't know what it is, but it's not.
It's none of these. I don't know. The movie where he portrays Stephen Hawking, and then he also was nominated for The Danish Girl. And in all of those interviews and stuff, like, him as a person, also Les Mis, but whatever, he comes off as, like, quiet, soft-spoken, but very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And so he's very thoughtful and very well-meaning. And so you kind of cheer for him, mm-hmm. you know? And you're like, oh, he's trying. He gives the impression of, like, oh, he's trying.
Right.
He's trying to be a good person. He's trying to be a good actor. He's trying. Mm-hmm. He's trying. And that comes across in his portrayal of Newt as well, where Newt feels like, well, he's trying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then you read it on the page and you're like, no, yeah. Like, no. On the opposite end, like, Ginny on the page for Harry Potter, like, comes off as, like, having a personality and doing one of these things.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie Wright's portrayal of her, you're like, porridge.
Right.
Which is, like, and then you go back and read it, you kind of see some of the porridge creep up. But, like, you know, it's just funny because the reason why I love movies so much, too, is, like, what people are able to, like, how collaborative it is and, like, what you're able to bring to a certain thing. You can never really fully get past bad writing, but you can definitely distract from bad writing with the choices that you make.
Yeah. And also, like, distract from
the theory of everything. Thank you. Word. What did I say? I feel a lot of things. None of them were right.
I also think, like, distracting from bad writing, but also, like, what's the word? Like, developing it further?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, like, some of that stuff is like, okay, you say it in a certain way and then it actually means something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can kind of, if you have the emotions to play up, like, the writing might not be great, but if you were bringing the, like, the performance, then it means something more than just, like, reading on the page and you're like, okay.
I mean, we've said this with when we were reading Chris Child, like, those actors did a lot.
Yeah.
With a very little.
It's why, like, when they won, like, Best Original Screenplay, I was like, that's dumb. But, like, when they won, like, acting and stuff, I was like, hell yeah. Like, deserve that shit. Like,
I mean, they looked at the Charlie Witch, and I felt the fear. I also felt, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It doesn't make no goddamn sense. But I also was like, yeah, but they scared, though. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And I felt the love. Zay wants us to talk about Dougal's refreshing disrespect of gender norms because he stole a purse and now he's doing childcare. And in this time of keeping your ass at home, I just want to say there are no genders in responsibilities and chores. Y'all got to keep all y'all kids. Daddy got to keep the kids as much as mama got to keep the kids. Mama need a break.
It's true.
Everybody got to do the dishes.
Which is weird. Which is fake, honestly. The dishes should just do themselves.
It should.
That's
another tangent.
The dishes should do themselves. The trash should take itself out.
Right. And, but unless you got that magic on lock, you got that wagadoo wandless magic,
you
got to do that. And I don't care. Y'all got to share.
Yeah. So yeah, Newt's incompetent. Jacob and Queenie enter the attic. Newt moves forward and kneels beside the demiguys, which makes space for him in front of the suites. The demiguys is like, oh yeah, nah, come on. Not really tripping. not running in the way that, like, the Niffler was like, oh, you're not going to get me.
Well, because this is the difference, is that the Niffler had a bag to protect.
Right.
Dougal is like, oh, new, you normally, this is your job anyway.
Yeah, so come on.
Come on. You lost your baby. I found him.
I'm just helping.
I'm just helping.
So Newt carefully places his case down. Angle on Tina. There's a shift of light that reveals the scales of a large creature hiding in the rafters of the attic. So it's an Akami, a small blue snake-like bird. This one is huge. So we saw like the little ones in the case earlier. When it was just like.
So he lost the big one and didn't notice.
No. They're all the same. They just.
Oh.
So.
I didn't read. Okay.
One got out. And so mm-hmm. Newt explains that the Akamis are coronaptixic, which, whatever. Basically, they grow to fill available space. So even if it's, like, it's a baby, but because it's in this attic, it's just like, hey, look at all this space. I'm in here.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah. So that's why it's so big, and then late, like, they get it to be...
They shrink it down.
They shrink it down, yeah.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I also don't remember reading this.
Mm. Well, yeah. I remember this is like one of the scenes I actually remember.
I should probably take notes of this thing.
This is one of the scenes that I like actually remember like seeing, like what it looked like. So Newt is like, mummy's here, which, you know, is like Hagrid.
Ooh.
And I think they just, that's just what.
But also mummy ain't shit. Hagrid did adopt a dragon and he shouldn't have.
I was like, Hagrid also ain't shit.
And fed the dragon bourbon.
People who care so much about magical creatures like so
incompetent about
like,
it
why not make them like
but I will say that house? Hagrid cared and was there
and I think
Newt I don't think cared. That Hagrid was like super incompetent in terms of taking care of his creatures. He was just incompetent in recognizing
like their
the capabilities and like the boundaries of his creatures.
Yes.
Like a dragon, no matter how much you love and care for it,
should not live
in a wooden house.
No.
It just doesn't have. It's just.
Even back in the mountains and like,
yeah.
There's all them caves and stuff up.
A giant, no matter if he's your brother or not, should not be chilling out right next to a school.
Yeah. It's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
It's a bad look. Yeah. So then they angle on the demiguise whose eyes flash brilliant blue, a sign that it's having a premonition. So this is just That's So Raven. Like, I think that's why, like, the way that he describes what
that's
a demiguise
so
does.
Raven.
This is like, That's So Dougal. That's what this is right now. Like,
That's So Dougal.
It's the future he can see.
That's So Dougal.
It's so mysterious to
him. Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Anyway, so this is what Newt says about the demiguise is that, like, I read it earlier, but just going back, it says its sight operates on probability, so it can foresee the most likely immediate scenario. So instead, he's like, you know, zoom into his eye, and we see a Christmas bauble rolling across the floor, the Akami panicking, Newt clasping its back and being flung about the room, the demiguise suddenly on Jacob's back, And then the demiguise's eyes turn back to brown. So it does all this, but why? Like, I think that's the thing is, like, what's the point?
What it should do, again...
Also, the other thing... So I think there's a couple things. So one is, like, what's the point of it seeing the future? Because immediately, this is what happens. Like, mm-hmm. He sees it, and then it happens. Which, again, is Jerry, That's a Raven. But if he's, like, seeing... If his sight is to see, like, the next probable future... Then shouldn't that just be how he sees things all the time? In which case, like...
Why does he
have a vision? Like, it seems very, like... They're just two different things. And I think that it would be really weird. And I don't know how to show what Newt is actually saying that he does. But it's more interesting.
The Russo brothers did it. In which... Stephen Strange, think of him what you will.
Sure. Yep, you're right.
Sat there.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, like, the demigod stop. Nobody can see that.
Eight people can see it.
But
five people.
But that's not everybody who's listening to this. Most people cannot see this.
Y'all know what I just did. Search your brain.
It's when he was searching for all possible
probabilities.
That's the thing is, like, Doctor Strange was searching for all possible outcomes, whereas the Demiguy just sees the most problems. So it's not like he's doing it.
He's not actively looking for it.
To me, it's more like
it's passive.
He is always in the future, if that makes sense. So in my head, he would always be moving as if he's in the immediate future, as opposed to in the present and like, oh, I saw something that's about to happen and now we're back in the present. I think you could demonstrate it in the way that he moves and in the way that he
Or you could write something that is much easier to translate on the screen.
Or that. Because That's O'Dougal is we've done that before. We've watched how many episodes of That's So Raven?
I've watched a handful. Because Ami is really into it. And also mostly that is Raven's home. My best friend was in love with Raven and every once in a while I had to watch it with him. But
sad existence.
I know, because it's Disney Channel. Once the MMC went off, what were y'all doing?
So Raven is a classic.
I'm sure it is, but there's... I did love Lizzie McGuire. Even Stevens.
Even Stevens, Proud Family.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. You're correct. You make points. Okay. She made points.
I'm just like, what is it?
She reminded me.
they were kind of doing the thing. Anyway, the point is that it shows this little vision thing that it has, and then the other thing about Raven is that she would see the shit and then she would try to
prevent it. And that's what made it happen.
And that was what will make it happen, but that makes it interesting. You know what I mean? In this case, he just sees it and then Queenie accidentally kicks a glass bauble, the alchemy freaks out, and things go into chaos, which is so then what's the point of being able to see the future if you're not
able to do
even
anything
if he can't
about.
Because obviously it's a creature, so it's not like he's gonna be yo, watch out. that's not how it's gonna work. But
he could, because oh my god, there's the cutest video on Twitter in which a woman is doing push-ups. She's standing on a chair, she lifts up to do the push-ups, and her dog was nope and puts the chair right under her feet, and then was spotting her, yo, aww, we good, sis? Oh no, but this chair should be under you.
Right.
Stand, okay. Okay. A whole look of concern. You saw the whole thing in his face. He was what are you doing, ma'am? Don't kick the chair out. Chair needs to stay underneath.
Right.
I got snacks I need you to give me. Dougal could do that. Right. He could be
there's some way that you communicate.
He's ape-ish. He's got opposable thumbs. He could grab Queenie.
Yeah.
Or nudge her out of, a cat head. But
you could literally see him moving around the room without seeing what he sees. You could see him moving around the room you need to go here, and mm-hmm. you need to go here, and watch out for this.
And then the teacup, does a little, do-do-do, and then lands, you know what I mean?
And I get, in part, they're trying to, or she's trying to make,
Fetch happen?
Well, I think she's trying to, make the most, tension or, chaos happen in everything about this play is, taking the easy way out, so it's just they're going to cause chaos and then the alchemy's going to freak out and then we're going to have some kind of tension in the story as opposed to just doing I don't know. I just think there's other ways to cause tension and I think that
I think you're correct.
Yeah. I just think having Dougal actually do something interesting would be cool. Otherwise he's just here being a babysitter and that's cute, but it's not.
It does not franchise make.
It's not. Yeah. So the Demiguy runs into Jacob's arms. Alchemy swoops, scooping Newt up onto its back as it violently thrashes about the attic, sending shells flying. Newt's we need an insect and a teapot. So
I hate this. This is very Doctor Who in a way that I actually actively dislike about Doctor Who sometimes, which is
it's also convenient.
Yeah, and also magical. Magical science is one thing, but magical engineering is another. Yeah. It's a very annoying thing to me. Mm. I'll put this together and this together, and all of a sudden I have, something that connects to the internet. Where? How? You ain't got no broadband.
Also, it goes ding when there's stuff.
This goes ding when there's stuff, but it doesn't do what? I got 4 spoons, and now I can, scan your entire being and get a breakdown. No. But anyway.
Yeah. So Tina's army crawling through the chaos. Wings of the alchemy are crashing on the floor. The roof of the building is being destroyed. So, this is just... again, maximum destruction, but, like, for no real reason. So Jacob turns, he and the demiguys spot a stray cockroach on a crate. So that's, like, real lucky, and shouldn't you just have insects on him? Like, shouldn't you just keep that thing on him?
Right.
Like, it just seems like if you're taking care of creatures, insects would be, like, the first thing you kind of... Just have, like, a random bag or a jar.
This is a weird thing that I always think about, and, like, it's not really a tangent because it totally applies to here. But, like, caregivers or whatever, like, obviously they understand, like, the circle of life that rules us all through spirit and hope and faith and love. But...
We find our place on the path unwinding.
Yes. It's the circle of life. Uh-huh. But I'm always like, you care so much about these animals, and you just be feeding them insects. Like, do the insects not matter? Do you not ever make, like, a connection with your bug?
Not really.
And right, and Matt, and I just tried to say mice and rat at the same time. Rice and mats. They just be like, oh, here, he's hungry. And I'm like, yo, that too had a soul.
I mean, sure, but folks gotta eat.
I mean, yes.
You know?
But.
I mean, like, you eat animals.
No, see, this is very different.
Is it?
Yeah, because I personally have built this delusion where there are animals, right? There are chickens, and they live their lives, and they're happy, and they have, like, ample space to romp. And then there's something called chicken, and it just shows up at the grocery store all wrapped up in plastic, and you buy it, and you fry it, and it tastes good. And those are not the same things, and neither shall the twain meet. And that delusion works well for me.
I'm not a vegetarian for anything, like... Moral, I just am one, so I have no arguments about it. I just was curious.
No, it's like, I went to, the first time I went to Oklahoma, my uncle is a pig farmer, and, like, these pigs were born, and they were the cutest fucking, and pigs are so smart, and they're actually very clean, if you let them be clean. Mm-hmm. And, like, the mud thing makes sense, because they actually roll in mud for, like, not warmth, the opposite of warmth, to cool down. Mm-hmm. They do eat anything,
yeah.
But that means you have to give them access to anything,
right.
You know? But anyway, so these two pigs were born, and they were adorable, and I caught feelings quickly, and then he named them Jimmy Dean and Bologna, because that's what they were going to become one day, and he, like, names all of his, like, if he names them, he usually doesn't need, like, he names them, like, 1, 2, 3, or whatever, or, like, I think for my benefit, he was like, don't get attached.
Right.
And then from that moment on, I was like, nope, because I also was not going to actually give up bacon.
Right.
Though I did give up bacon for quite some time, but it found its way back into my heart and my diet. But from that moment on, I was like, those are different.
Separate. I mean, okay. That's interesting.
Yep. Everyone has their things.
Yeah, I definitely. Okay, cool. So they spot this cockroach, which is real convenient. And I mean, like, I guess because you're in, like, the attic, so, like, yeah, there's a bug, but who knows? Like, there could have been no bugs, and then what are you gonna do?
Also, it's like bad parenting to have, I mean, your child freak out, and you're like, here, you want a cookie? Have a cookie.
Right.
Or whatever. I mean, I get it. You give him a bottle or whatever, but, like...
I don't know. He should be more... But he also, he didn't know the Akumi was gone because he miscounted or whatever the fuck. So,
right, so what are we...
Why are we...
Responsibility and Newton.
Yeah, so anyway, Tina is in hot pursuit of the cockroach now.
Aren't they magical? Are you a witch or not?
That's what I'm saying. Like, where the fuck is Accio? Y'all was just Accio in the Niffler.
Accio Niffler?
Like, Accio cockroach. The fuck?
Right?
Accio too
hot. I mean, to be honest...
But that's the problem with this team. Like it's cute in that, like, yeah, this is, like, what the play is supposed, or the play, this is what the movie's supposed to be. But then, like, every single plot,
if you stop and think about it for half a second, you're like, I mean, Dean, it wasn't Dean, but one of them, Accio to Salmon, and they were eaten.
It was Dean. I mean, I don't know. We say it's Dean.
One of them.
I don't think it was actually attributed to anybody.
Yeah. Someone Accio to Salmon, and they were like, it's a fish fry. We out here. And they run in and chasing after a single cockroach.
So, like, I just...
But also a single one.
Yeah. I keep using the word contrived, but that's the only word I can really think of to, like, describe this entire, like, thing. So Queenie screams as she's knocked to the floor by the alchemy. Jacob runs up behind her and dives, laying claim to a cockroach. I guess there's more than one. Okay, anyway. Tina stands clutching a teapot, which I thought she was just looking for a cockroach. So, like, okay. She screams, teapot. At this, the alchemy rears its head. And then Jacob and Tina are on opposite ends of the room, of course. Because, mm-hmm. you know, maximum plot. The demiguise is looking shiftily to the side and then vanishes, which, okay, thanks, Dougal.
Dougal was like, you know what? When I was in charge, we were going to eat some lollipops and have a good old time.
The alchemy's face is inches away from Jacob's, staring with full intensity at the cockroach. And Newt says, roach in teapot. And so then Jacob throws the roach instead of, you know, having the invisible demiguise take it over. Tina pulling out her wand and saying, Accio, roach. Cockroach. Just other ways that we could do this without it being so, like, you know, like the slow motion, like football. They throw the football and, like, doon, doon,
doon, doon, doon. And Newt Scamander, noted athlete.
Doon, 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 doon. Like the Olympics or whatever the fuck. Like, that's what this is. It's like in Fresh Prince, when that episode when Carlton and Will are on the basketball team and Carlton makes that shot and he's just sitting there and pause. And then it like airballs, but he's just waiting, and everybody's just like staring at the ball, like I'm soaring through the air. That's what that shit is.
So impressed.
It's a
with the
specifics.
Just like that, your brain went. It's like in Fresh Prince. It is. You know that show?
But it's also
20 some years ago.
It's also a GIF.
It's just like that.
It's also a GIF, but it is like that.
I mean, I've been living 20 years ago for the past week, so who am I to judge? But it was just.
I mean, it's the Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air. It's not the like, when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I was just.
Still, the references.
The reference is great.
But yeah, anyway, so that's basically what happens. And Tina runs, teapot outstretched, hurtling the alchemy as she goes.
Also just say, though.
And heroic sight is what we're told that it is.
Not only are you throwing a roach, which is a living thing, and like you can't throw a living thing the same way you would throw a baseball or a basketball. Like, it's going to move because it itself can move. And then you're throwing another living thing. I mean, she's not, like, throwing it. She's, like, lunging with it. She didn't throw it, but... Did she throw it? No. She just, like... Outstretched, hurtling the alchemy coils as she... Oh, the alchemy coils as she's stretching to catch.
Yeah. Like, okay. It's trying to move.
It's trying to, like,
get to the
interception. I'm gonna eat that. Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Continue.
Imani put the gif I was talking about in the chat.
Also, whenever I see this, I just think Swaggy P, but in real life. Oh. Like,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, Swaggy P did that
yeah.
in real life.
Came back and was like, you did do that. Anyway, okay, so then the cockroach falls perfectly into the teapot because, you know,
of course it does.
The alchemy rears up, shrinking rapidly as it rises before diving down head first. It races down toward the teapot and glides seamlessly inside. Then Newt is like, it also shrinks to fit the available space, which, you know, he could have said before, but whatever. And then Tina's like, tell me the truth. Was that everything in the case? And Newt says, that's everything and that's the truth. But how do you know? Because you just fucking miscounted.
And also, Dougal disappeared.
Right. I mean, I think Dougal is still in Jacob's arms.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess he's holding Dougal and also tossing the car. I don't know. Anyway, apparently, that's everything. Which, how? We don't know. How could we know if Newt
don't know.
He don't even know. So why are you even asking him to promise? Anyway, we're now in Newt's case shortly afterward. I hope they, like, repaired the department store, because that would be awkward.
Like, the property damage. For why?
It's just unnecessary. Like, I think it was a thing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, it was all that, like, there was all that critique about, like, how much destruction mm-hmm. there is. More like in the first couple phases. And like, I guess because they can use Reparo, you're just supposed to assume that like
everything. They do good. Though.
But even like when they did it earlier to like Jacob's flat, it still seems like it did more damage because everybody could see it repairing itself. So it's just like, it's weird because they are not, for a story that's like so much about the Statue of Secrecy, they're not actually
concerned at all
about that. And not they as in the characters, which like they aren't, but also like the, like J.K. Rowling is not concerned about it. She's just like, if it looks cool, then that's what we do. So yeah, okay. So we're in a new case. Jacob holds the demiguise's hand, leading it through its enclosure. And then Jacob is talking to the demiguise and is like, happy to be home? Bet you're exhausted, buddy. Come on. There you go. That's right. So he's just, it's like holding the demiguise's hand. He's like, you know.
We're buddies big, again.
Great. Big companion energy. Tina is tentatively holding the baby Akami. And then places it in its nest. Tina's looking around at the Arumpet. It's just kind of like, yo, this is wild. And then Pickett gives Newt a sharp pinch.
Which is annoying to me because are you a witch or not? Like, it's an extended, as in whatever.
No, I think she's looking at the Arumpet, not necessarily at the, like. Like, she's looking at the creatures and okay. It's like, wow. Not necessarily the.
Like, how this big ass thing get out of your case? Because that's what I was looking at.
Right. That too. But, So Pickett gives Newt a sharp pinch because he's like, we need to talk. You were about to give me away to, like, mm-hmm. this little...
We're in a fight, is what, like, Pickett said.
Yeah, he did. He's like, we
got
up.
Beef.
Okay. And then Newt was like, I wouldn't have let him keep you, Pickett. And he's, like, apologizing or whatever. And Pickett's like, fine. Sticks his tongue out. And now we're angling on a photograph inside Newt's shed. It's a beautiful girl. Who smiles suggestively. Queenie, staring at the photo, asks Newt who it is. And Newt's like, that's no one. And then Queenie reads his mind anyway and says, Leetle Estrange? I've heard of that family. Aren't they kind of, you know? And I just, like, have some decorum. Like, why is she always... Why you ask the question if you're going to read his mind anyway? Like, I think they're supposed to have her... I think this is, like, supposed to be her being charming and quirky. But it's really just...
It's super rude.
Everybody in this play... In this movie, sorry, is either, like, rude, incompetent, or a no-go. And I just can't. Like, I just really cannot. I do not care about any of these characters. They are not likable.
No. I think also, like... This was the first time that I, like, actively... In the theater, like, I mean, maybe when the Senator Shaw thing happened, I audibly, like, rolled my eyes inside. But, like, the Leetle Estrange thing was, and why was I shocked about Nagini? Now that I think, I forgot, because these things don't matter. Because the story doesn't matter. But the Lestrange, I've heard of that family. Meanwhile, this black woman, like, I just am tired. Effie, I'm tired.
Of all the problems you're making us. Anyway, so Newt's like, please don't read my mind. And then Queenie immediately reads his mind and gets the entire story of Leetle out of his brain. So, like, what is the point? Like, why? Why?
And then, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Like, yes.
It's like, then you're not a legitimate. Then you're, like, not, that's not right. What it is. And, like, if they told you were legitimate,
they
lied. You don't get a second opinion because that's not how it works. Like, legitimacy is very deliberate magic that you use when you have a wand. You don't just, like, hear things. Like, oh, no, I can't. What are you, Jean Grey? Like, what the fuck? Like, you're in the wrong franchise, man.
Yeah, it is. The insistence on this being a thing.
And the problem is that it's so much made. I mean, when we get to the next movie and then it's just, like, made for maximum, like, again, just plot. Maximum plot. Big plot. Doesn't have to make sense. In this case, it's supposed to be, like, ooh, she has this interesting character. And she doesn't. She's boring as hell and she's rude. Like, who cares?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to read the face comment.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike you, sir. I just think that. Chill. maybe find some. So he says, I think we are all in agreement that J.K. Rowling did not give any intelligent thought to the fact that America was supposed to be strict after Miss Mustard Face started following around Pee-wee Steve Irwin. No. That's what he said. I didn't say that's what he said.
He did say that. No, I'm reading along with you. And I just...
And then he says, imagine the extent of nosiness the OG trio with mind reading capabilities. Yeah. Just and then, like, otherwise she'd hear everything and not just exactly the information she wanted in the first place. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's like when someone, when I'm thinking and we're talking,
right,
and you say, who's Lita Lestrange? My thought isn't, oh, Lita, she's a taker, blah, 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 blah. My thought is, none of your motherfucking business. Right. Why are you asking me this?
Is, even if, like, I just, that's the other problem is, like, she's using legitimacy and, like, is fucking up the rules, but, like, even the rules of mind reading or whatever this is not consistent and doesn't really make sense, and there's no, like, and we've talked about this, like, when you have things like this, you have to have rules to it. Otherwise, right. What's the point? Otherwise, she can do whatever.
She can do whatever.
Because, like, even when we get to fucking, Crimes of Grindelwald, why wouldn't she be able to just know exactly what Grindelwald was about to do? Because he's using Occlumency? That's dumb, because you could use, like, it just...
Yeah.
There's no real, like, foundation for her.
And everyone in his orbit is not using Occlumency, if that was how Occlumency worked, because this right. is not how Legitimacy works. But then Maggie also brings up the point, the fact that she can't control this as an adult. It's like, at least in Smallville, Clark freaks out about accidentally seeing people's skeletons and figures out how not to. And I think I brought this up in terms of the Southern Vampire Diaries of Sookie Stackhouse. It's like, she can do what Queenie does, which is read minds, and she's inundated with it to the fact where the entire town calls her Crazy Sookie. Because when she's growing up, she responds to people's thoughts. She's looking confused and scattered. Like, if you've ever walked into a room, a very, very loud bar, or something, and there's like so many inputs,
right.
And that's how she's like going about the world, and she's like distracted, and like, you know, it's very visibly like shaken because right. she can't filter that stuff. Right. And as she grows up, she starts to filter that stuff because otherwise you can't leave the house.
Right. And in this case, they're just like, oh, but the thing is,
and like, it's like she's not hearing Tina's thoughts right now. She's not hearing Jacob's thoughts right now.
J.K. Rowling wants her to hear for us to get some exposition.
Yes.
Or, like, move the plot along. So, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't work.
And there's never a point in the story in which she hears something that she's not supposed to hear. I'm putting air quotes again. It's a podcast. I don't know. I forgot how to podcast all of a sudden. Where she's, like, accidentally reading someone's mind and it doesn't further the plot.
Right.
Like, at least, like, to make it not realistic is the wrong word because it's magic, but like to make it more believable, at least be like, you know, oh, Biana, I too love tacos. You know what I mean? Just like some rant, because people's brains don't.
It was like, I'm kind of hungry. Also, like, I think it has to go do it. Doesn't always have to do with plot, but it also has to do with, like, what people are thinking of in that particular moment. Like,
yeah.
Again, Newt wouldn't be thinking of Lita's entire story and their entire relationship in the question, who's Lita Lestrange? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he would be thinking...
He would just be like, oh, shit, it's none of your business. You might, like, get the same picture or, like, a different picture of her and, like, oh, I see, like, what she looks like 10 years ago or whatever the fuck. But, yeah,
or maybe you get guilt because he's like, I'm attracted to teeny.
A teeny.
I'm attracted to Tina, but I'm in love with Lita, but Lita's in love with my brother. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just...
Like, a lot of it would be like... when you don't want people to know things about... Like, if you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it, usually you also don't want to think about it.
Yeah,
like,
usually you're thinking, I don't want to talk about this.
Right. Or you're just like, oh, I'm gonna repress that. You're not like, oh, well, in my head is safe. Like, no, it's just not how it works. Anyway.
Also, sorry, before we get in, because yes, all of that stupid. The other thing is, I know the Lestrange family. I've heard of that family. How small is the Wizarding World? Like, that literally you've heard of this family who has, like, dark ties or whatever. They're supposed to be kind of like the Malfoys. But they're still respectable. So none of them are, like, criminals. It's not like
right.
Papa Lestrange is on some Grindelwald shit.
No, he's like a Death Eater.
He is, but he's not, like...
Or he's not on some... He's just on some regular...
He's on some regular blood purity stuff, but he's able to still live in society.
Yeah.
Like, have money, have... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Lucius Malfoy and all the Malfoys, for what... Like, however influential they are in Britain, they would not be known in America because the whole point is that they're able... I mean, they could be in terms of, like, they're on the society pages or something like that, but... Then that negates the whole America super lockdown and, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if they're locked down from the other... Well, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to explain it because I don't actually know. I was just going to say, like, I don't know.
I just think that, like, if someone's proclivities to dark magic are so well known across the pond, then they're doing a very bad job and they wouldn't be a respectable family. Right. Or they wouldn't be able to, like, pretend to be a respectable family.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they would, you would be known because you were a Grindelwald, because you were a Voldemort. And you're out here doing wild, illegal stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this family is doing the right things, but they're kind of shady, doesn't make the society pages in America.
Mm-hmm. Zay makes a point saying, oh, so Queenie can't help it, and she just gets to be ditzy and flirty and carefree, as one can be when you're being persecuted. But Credence and Ariana can't control it and are turned into sentient smoke and kill their mothers, respectively. Basically.
Well.
Indeed. It makes all the sense if you squint. Or drink. Or just, you know, don't read the screenplay. Like,
I was about to say, don't drink, because, like, the amount that you have to drink.
To be like, this is
That's fine. The thing that we should do, or you could also do, tangent, back to the original tangent of... socially distant suggestions. You could rewatch How I Met Your Mother, but, like, stop before the last season, because Robin Scherbatsky had a morning show and she would always say butum, and then these college kids would, like, turn it into a drinking game. And then when she found out that they turned it into a drinking game, she went on the, like, next day on her morning show and was like butum 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 butum, and killed the drinking game. Because, you know, the point of a drinking game is to drink to get, like, drunk, slightly dizzy, not to kill yourself.
Yeah.
So basically, I thought of that because you, the amount that you'd have to drink to make this make sense is dangerous and not FDA advised.
It's true. You're just like, don't do it. Just
don't. Yeah. Oh, Maggie can't rewatch. Not even the, and talk about it. Like, How I Met Your Mother was the original Game of Thrones. Like, they just, whew. Whoo, fix it, Jesus.
I could probably rewatch some of the battle episodes. Even Hardhome doesn't hit the same, though, and it makes me sad because that was my favorite episode. Battle episodes.
Maybe I should try to rewatch Veronica Mars. I wonder if I could. Because they shit that, too.
Anyway. So...
That actually was very much on topic of, like, franchises that failed you.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying we should keep going.
No, yes, we should. But...
So Queenie's like, that was a real close friendship you had at school. And Newt's like, yeah, well, neither of us really fitted in. Okay. And Queenie's like, so she's like finishing his sentences and like, whatever. Anyway, in the background, we see Tina, who has noticed that Newt and Queenie are talking. And then Queenie says, concerned, she was a taker. You need a giver. Which, what? How would you know that from reading his mind? Because again, it's not like you're going back in time to know, to have like... an accurate look at who she was. You're looking through his memories, and which still doesn't
make sense. He still has like mostly fond feelings about her,
right? And then I also, like, there's a problem with this.
And if you were, like, if you're the person being taken advantage of, a lot of times you don't recognize it in those terms.
Also, there's something like sexist about this that I just, like,
yeah,
really hate. Just like, she was a taker, you need a giver. Like, does he? Like, not that anyone needs a taker, because that, you know, let's not. And, like, don't be a taker. But, like, you need a giver? Like, this just seems... Anyway. Whatever.
I have nothing to add there.
So, Tina asks what they're talking about, and they both basically say school. And then Jacob is asking about wizarding schools in America. So this is just, like... Basically, Magic in North America, the Pottermore abridged real quick, just in case you didn't read those ahead. So, Queenie's like, we went to Overmorny. It's only the best wizard school in the whole world. And then Newt's like, I think you'll find the best wizard schools in Hogwarts. And she's like, hogwash, even though Overmorty is literally knockoff Hogwarts. So, okay.
And that, ooh.
And also, Hogwarts, if it's the best in the world, like,
yikes. Also, what are we talking about?
It's just
school. Is there a school, a wizarding school in America? Like, no one said there are wizarding schools. That's what you would ask. And then you'd be like, yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think I missed the Jenny chat. I'm gonna call after. It's because of this stupid play. Couldn't even talk to my brother. Anyway.
Well, you couldn't talk. I mean, I guess you could talk to him. He can't talk back.
He talks.
He goes,
the best smiles.
He really
and when
does.
When you answer the phone, he claps. Okay?
So, everyone needs an applause for just existing.
Okay? Y'all go get you a 1-year-old brother. It's great. They are the best.
Highly recommend. Side effect, they do grow up.
They do. But for the next, like, 12 to 24 months, it's lit. I mean, it's probably lit for longer than that. But, like,
yeah.
He's adorable.
5. I'll edit anything up until 5. It's money.
Yeah.
6 is when it's like, whew.
I mean, but then they lose their teeth. So
oh, yeah.
That's the thing is it kind of like it balances out. You know what I mean?
They always find a way.
Something.
But also by 5, you're in. You're like, ma, it's damn funny. It. I'm invested in you now. Ugh. Yeah. I want your well-being.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it. I love you.
That's how I be feeling about Aminata, which means ugh. Hers. I'm like, if you didn't just like imprint on me hella early, you wouldn't even be cool right now.
What do you mean I can't just drop you? Oh, sometimes I just want to drop you. Get new friends. Let's see other people. We can't. You're 5.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, they're interrupted by the Thunderbird, which is still here, which rises into the air, screeching, flapping its wings vigorously. And Newt's like, danger. He senses danger, which who cares? And this is when we get back to, that was just like the weakest transition back into the stuff we don't want. So C-93, Second Salem Church, Graves apparates in the shadows, his wand is drawn, he's examining the scene of decimation, looking intrigued and almost excited.
All of these notes, this is like, wait, transports me back to Cursed Child, and I'm like, shut up!
This is terror.
Shut up!
Time stops.
How about instead
unravels,
of...
Unravels and then starts
up again. How about, instead of doing all this, you just make a story that I actually... feel this way about, yeah. Instead of telling me how I'm supposed to feel.
Yeah. C-94. The place is destroyed. Chastity lies dead. I guess that's the older one, because I think she, later, Graves is like, where's the other sister? So this is the one that we don't, I don't know who that is. Anyway, she did.
Chastity is the older one.
It's the older one, and she did.
Because Graves still thinks it's the younger one.
It's the younger one.
One.
I still don't know who that is.
Melody. Memory.
Memory. Reverie.
Mortuary. I forget. I remember what it is now, but I'm not going to say it because it's not as good as mortuary.
So there's eerie sobbing, which what makes sobbing eerie?
Have you seen The Shining?
Yes.
That.
I guess.
I
just feel
The
like
Shining.
Sobbing itself isn't eerie as like... It could, like, add to the eeriness of the thing, but I feel like sobbing itself can't, like, it just, that's, like, nitpicky, I think, but.
I mean, at this point, though, that's all there is to do.
That's true.
It's to just be like, this is dumb, your mama dumb. I want my money back, yeah. Even though, thank God, we didn't pay for it. But also, the person who bought us these has stopped checking in. Have you noticed that? Nah. Tanika was like, nah, man, I made a mistake. Job.gif also rewatch the first few seasons of, not the recent Netflix ones, but the earlier Arrested Development.
Okay.
They'll still slap.
Mary Lou's body lies on the floor. Credence is cowering in the back of the church, whimpering and clutching his pendant of the Deathly Hallows. Graves is like, the Obscurial was here? Where did she go? And Credence is like, help me. And Graves is like, did you tell me you had another sister? Where's your other sister? Which, like, I guess maybe he's just guessing, because beforehand he had no idea who it was. And it really could have been, any kid, because you bring kids into the church all the time. So it's interesting that now all of a sudden he's convinced that it's the sister when he would have no reason of.
I think because it's, it happened at a time in which the other kids weren't
there. But he doesn't know that. I mean, maybe because there's no other kids there, but there's only two dead people in Credence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
whatever. Plot. So Credence is like, please help me. And Graves slaps him across the face instead. And then Graves is like, your sister's in grave danger. Haha, but I'm we need to find her. Credence is aghast, unable to comprehend that his hero has hit him. Graves grabs him and pulls him to his feet, and they disapparate. And that's where we leave off.
I again forgot to do it. MVP?
Dougal?
Yes!
For babysitting? And.
Yes!
Yeah. Shout out to Beasts.
Pickett for knowing his worth.
Word.
And being like, okay, you may have gotten distracted, but we are not done with this conversation. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to love me.
Dun, 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 dun.
You were supposed to love me. Dun, dun, dun. And I am telling you, I'm not going. Even if that elf is showing. Is it an elf? I don't know. No, I'm just waiting. That's why I was. That's why I was wasting time, because I forgot to MVP. They MVP's the unnamed and aggrieved roach. Maggie MVP's Pickett for not letting Newt's bad Maggie zoologist practice his slide. Whew. I hate that word. It's like anamorph magi. I'm like, I always trip over
anamorph
it.
Anamorph magi. True. Anamorph magi.
Isn't that what it is?
No.
Sorry. See? Like, see?
What?
What is it?
Because you mixed anamorphs with like metamorph.
Metamorph magi.
Yeah. anamorph magi. Like, wait. That is a difference here.
2 hours of sleep. Lena, MVP's Dougal. Benched?
Queenie. I would have done Grindelwald or Graves or whatever, but, like, we already know he trash. Queenie out here just, like, play, like...
Rude!
No privacy. And apparently has been alive for at least 30 years and don't know how to control her magic. Like, what did you go to... Illumorti must not be good if you can't control fucking your mind control. So
Queenie over here, like, hogwash. Like, you know, her crying. Little fight song for Ilvermorny. Okay. Meanwhile, didn't learn a goddamn thing.
So you can't even use Accio on a cockroach. Like, get out of my face.
That is an amazing insult. That, like, should be used in just real life.
Just real life. You can't even use
Accio on a cockroach.
I mean.
Zay also says, addendum, co-MVP Dougal for slaying with the kid... Slaying the kids with his purse and loving the kids. I too bench Queenie because what the hell, man? Like get out my brain because it's rude. Learn some magic because.
How does she have friends? I guess because she's supposed to be cute or whatever and block.
Does she have friends? She got Tina.
It's true.
She got Tina. And yeah, just like Maggie said, Queenie is worse than Aquamancy than Harry.
It's true.
It's true. So Maggie benches Queenie. Imani benches Queenie. Lena benches Queenie. Oh, Bianca MVPs us for still doing this. Hey, thank
y'all,
you.
I planned out or sectioned off Crimes of Grindelwald because we're almost done with this, and I was just.
I was like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, I was looking up Crimes of Grindelwald. I go, why?
Because I'm like, after this, we have like 3 more
she's
weeks.
She's like, we have to do this. I was and I was like, oh. Like,
Also, we haven't talked about this, but I built in a short hiatus after that. We're gonna need a break.
So Bianca also benches Queenie and Joe. They bench Queenie. You is nosing you. We need to get Winky in here to read her to filth. And Nicole also benches Queenie for current and future crimes against Grindelwald.
The crimes of Queenie.
I will never not laugh at how big Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is, and then the next, how small it is.
Fantastic Beasts. The Crimes of Grindelwald. Thank you. Is that everything?
Oh, no. They also benches Newt, just the absolute worst guardian in the history.
Truly.
True story.
So thanks for listening. Next week, we will be discussing scenes 95 through 106 of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Make sure to read and follow along. Let us know who you think is the real MVP and who is benched for the chapter. I kind of did not make that spreadsheet like I said I would, but at this point, it just seems like, what's the point?
It's a burnt mission.
And also, like, it's not like most of our MVPs and binges have actually been people in the book. Like, this time is, like, a fluke, you know? So, whatever. But still, I want to know them.
And we already know who lost the book, which is J.K. Rowling, and who won the book, which is Scholastic, because they got them coins.
They did do that.
And Mina Lima, because they did that thing.
Join the conversation on Twitter, add us at WeBlackAndNerds, use the hashtag Wizard Team. And
stay inside and wash your hands.
Yeah.
And
check out all of the stuff that we have going on at blackgirlscreate.org. Content is still flowing, and I have things I need to look at, but
And write and send us those things that you wrote.
Draw. Create things.
Make TikToks.
Knit.
You know, crochet.
I don't know. Create wizard things.
Create wizard R&B because it is sorely needed. Wizard rock, but you know, with some bass and a beat.
Yeah.
Wizard trap. You know, something that the kids can jam to.
The youths. So yeah. Bye, y'all.
Bye.